Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to rest in you on the Sabbath day, to come apart from the cares of this life, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray that you'd bless us. Speak through me, Lord. You know that my feet are made of clay. I need your help. We pray that the Holy Spirit would apply the truths necessary for every heart today. For we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, the second chapter, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. God has just created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And the Bible tells us that on the seventh day, he did something different. He memorializes the seventh day. We're familiar with this, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. We're Seventh-day Adventists. If you're a visitor, this is a Seventh-day Adventist church. And this last part of the verse where it says that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it literally means to make it holy. How does God make anything holy? It is his presence. How did God make the sanctuary holy? His presence. How did God make the burning bush holy? It was his presence. So uniquely on the seventh day, we have this opportunity to have a date, a connection, communion with God. This is another passage that we're familiar with. God made it holy in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. So God makes it holy. We are to keep it holy. One of the ways that we keep it holy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Some people say, I keep every day holy. Well, we still need to work, and part of this command is we are to be industrious and live productive lives. But the seventh day, one way that we rest in him and keep a day holy is not working on the seventh day. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, made it holy. Now let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a third generation Seventh-day Adventist. My grandfather on my mother's side was a Seventh-day Adventist minister. He passed away a number of years ago. And growing up in the Adventist culture, there were certain times that I dreaded the Sabbath. You know what I'm talking about. I remember one time we came to the end of the Sabbath and we knew what time sundown was in Maryland, where we were living. And we pinpointed that time. I remember my friends and I put a timer on. And when it got down to 10 seconds, it was like 10, 9, and we were all together in unison. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and we just erupted into this euphoric cheer because that meant that we could watch television. Our parents made us wait another half hour after that. We were quite disappointed. I said, that's not the way you experience the Sabbath. But for us, in some ways, the Sabbath was this time of restriction. You can't do this, and you can't do that. You can't do this, and we would dread the Sabbath hours. Oh, for 24, and you know how kids are, seemingly eternal hours. You can't. You won't. You shouldn't. And this is not to say that the Sabbath should be a time where you do anything that you want, but the frame of the Sabbath for a person that grew up in this church became this restrictive day that, quite frankly, I did not enjoy. And Seventh-day Adventists come from a posture of showing which day is the Sabbath. We're very good at that. Apologetic response as to which day is the Sabbath. And when we talk about Sabbath keeping, many times it's framed in a negative, prohibitive context as to this day that you can't work from this time to this time. In other words, our lens of understanding the Sabbath is a very, very restrictive lens for some, and that passes on to the kids. And there was a reason why we erupted into cheer and why we had this countdown, because better for worse, the Sabbath was framed in this particular context. Today, I want to talk about the experience of the Sabbath. What is the experience of the Sabbath? Richard Davidson comments, "Little has been written dealing with the right way to keep the Sabbath, and often even this material has highlighted the negative. What is inappropriate Sabbath observance and not showcase the powerful, positive spiritual values of Sabbath for a vibrant Christian life. The joyous, experiential significance of the Sabbath for Christian spirituality." We talk a lot about the rightness of the day, but what about the experience of the Sabbath? I believe that if we experience the Sabbath the way that God intended us to experience it, that itself is a powerful witness. Amen? The joy of the Sabbath. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and 14, it talks about the Sabbath and the experience of the Sabbath. I want to read it here. "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it." Now, I've heard this text many times growing up in the church as a Seventh-day Adventist Bible-believing Christian, and the thing about this passage that always was mysterious to me was there's a portion of this passage that says, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. And then in that same passage, it says twice that the Sabbath is a delight. To me, as a young person growing up in this church, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, was anything but delightful. So here's the paradox. Now, I want to spend some time going through this passage. Now, there's two pitfalls that we can come into in regards to Sabbath keeping, and I've alluded to one. One is that the Sabbath is a drudgery. It's like a funeral. Requiem, you know, this thing that we just, have to endure. That's one pitfall. It becomes so restrictive, so just this prison that you go into for 24 hours. That's one pitfall. The other pitfall is that the Sabbath becomes like any other day. It becomes common, is no longer special. It's the day that you do everything else that you do on any other day. It is not unique. So that's the other pitfall that you can fall into. And the devil wants us to fall into one of two camps. He doesn't care which one you fall into. Either you treat the Sabbath like any other day, it becomes common, or it becomes dreadful. A drudgery. Something that you have to endure. Now, here is a unique concept that emerges from it, and I want to pick it apart with you for a little bit. It says that you turn away your what? Your foot from the Sabbath. Now, the translation here is a little bit obscure, because actually what it's talking about is to return to the Sabbath. You turn away from something, and you return to the Sabbath, and it talks about the foot. The other place where the Bible refers to the foot in relationship to an entity that is holy is at the burning bush experience with Moses. Moses comes to the burning bush. He's about to have this communion with God, and God says, take your shoes. The actual translation should be sandals, because they didn't wear shoes back then. Take your sandals from off your feet, because the ground that you're on is what? Is holy ground. Now, what made that ground holy? It's the presence of God. So God is there, and because God was there, Moses was told to take off his shoes. Now, I want you to consider the dynamics of that. In other words, that ground that Moses was about to step on was different than any other ground. Right? He was to relate to it different than any other ground on planet Earth at that time. He was to take off his shoes. In other words, when we relate to something that is holy or sacred, whether it be a place or a day, we engage with that day or that place differently than anything else because it is sacred. Why is it sacred? Because of the person in that day, because the person on that ground. Take off your shoes. Here's a quotation that was shared with me, Prophets and Kings, page 48. True reverence for God is inspired by a sense of his infinite greatness and a realization of his presence. It's because of the person that we have reverence. You're in the presence of God? We relate to him with reverence because of who he is. Let's move on in our passage. Turn away your foot. Return to the Sabbath. We aren't engaged with the day as a holy day. It is different than any other day. From doing your pleasure on my holy day. Some people have interpreted this phrase to say that the Sabbath should not be pleasurable, which was my experience. As I did some exegesis of this text and I looked at what other Hebrew scholars had written, there's another way to translate this passage. And that word pleasure there, other times, is translated as business. Okay, so here it is. This leads us back to the study. This is from one Hebrew scholar. This leads us back to the study of the word pleasure as found in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. The word is also translated in the Jewish Bible as business pleasure or one's own business interest. So this makes a lot of sense here. In other words, the Sabbath is not a day that you engage in secular business. Praise God. Amen? Look, when someone tells you you're on a vacation from work, I find very few people, except for workaholics, that say, oh, that's the worst thing. Vacation? Awful. The Jews have a particular way of relating to the Sabbath. They don't say, I can't work on that day. They say, I don't have to work on the Sabbath. There's a different way of framing it. Versus, I don't have to work, versus, I can't work. So this is talking about business, and I believe that it actually ties in more with Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, where it says, you shall not work on that day. In other words, the Sabbath is a day that you are not seeking business. You are not doing business on the Sabbath. And here it says, nor speaking your own words. Now, the Hebrew here, it actually leaves out your own. If you have a Bible that has italicized for the parts that is added by the scholars to kind of make it flow a little better, the actual Hebrew translation here is nor speaking words. Now think about that. Is the Sabbath to be a day of silence? Nor speaking words, or I'm breaking the Sabbath right now, I'm talking. Nor speaking words? The word devar here is also translated in other places in the Bible as speaking or talking about business. Fascinating. So in other words, pleasure is business in this context, or talking about business as well. When you look at the Hebrew, so this can't be talking about not talking on Sabbath, but it's talking about a particular thing. Now, I don't believe it's wrong, you know, when you're meeting someone for the first time to say, hey, what do you do for work? But what this is saying is that if you're engaged in business on the Sabbath, talking about work and being consumed in work, this is a time in which you're off. You don't have to talk about it on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of rest. Here's another one. Doing your own ways, again, has a connotation of business. And this is one translation. According to Hebrew scholar, finding your own pleasure actually means finding business, looking for potential customers on the Sabbath. Speaking words actually means taking business. Doing your own ways actually means doing business as usual on the Sabbath. So Isaiah chapter 58 tells us that the Sabbath is a time of rest, a time where you don't think about your work, a time that you don't talk about your work, a time that you don't do any work. Have you ever felt like you need a vacation? I do right now, actually. One of my previous parishioners told me, her husband's a lawyer, told me that when they go on vacation, she knows that for a few days, he just needs to sit on the beach and just sit and sit and sit. And then after that, he can do some activities. There's something about rest. Amen? And the Bible says that that rest is a delight. It's a delight. Notice here, two times in this passage, it says that the Sabbath is a delight. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And the particular way that this is used in the Hebrew is that this is an exquisite delight. The type of delight that kings and queens experience. The Sabbath is not a time of mourning. It's not a time of drudgery. It's not a time that the sacred becomes common. Here is what the Bible is bringing out. The Sabbath is to be delightful. The Sabbath is to be an exquisite delight, according to the Hebrew. According to Richard Davidson, Old Testament scholar, the Hebrew word delight in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, refers to the kind of delight that kings and queens experience in royal palaces. An exquisite delight. How has your Sabbath experience been to this point? Has it been dreadful? Has it been a drudgery? Or has it been common? God says, look, I want you to experience an exquisite delight on the Sabbath. I want to read a few quotations from Child Guidance. We have parents here. We had a lot of kids up here for Children's Story. Look at what Ellen White says about the Sabbath. The Sabbath should be made so interesting to our families that its weekly return should be hailed with joy. The children should be like, praise God, it's Sabbath. The day that you look forward to. Not like we were as kids, 10, 9, 8, 7, oh, it's over, praise God. I mean, that's not the way that it's supposed to be framed. Parents, make the Sabbath a delight that your children may look forward to it and have a welcome for it in their hearts. The Sabbath should be a day that is not dreadful, it should be a delight. Let me read on here. We can walk out with them, our children, in the open air. We can sit with them in the groves and in the bright sunshine and give their restless minds something to feed upon by conversing with them upon the works of God, and can inspire them with love and reverence by calling their attention to the beautiful objects in nature. We have some stunning, pristine opportunities here in Alaska that I have never seen in the lower 48. And if you do see it in the lower 48, there's a crowd of 1,000 people to see it there with you. Here in Alaska, we have a unique opportunity to experience nature and the God of nature with our children. Take them outside. Praise God. What an opportunity we have. There have been moments when I've been hiking with my wife and my son, and we look around and it feels like there's not anyone here for 1,000 miles. Pristine. And there's this wonder and awe that just washes over my soul. Nature. As the sun goes down, let the voice of prayer and the hymn of praise mark the close of the sacred hours and invite God's presence through the cares of the week and of labor. Thus, parents can make the Sabbath, as it should be, the most joyful day of the week. They can lead their children to regard it as delight, the day of days, and the holy of the Lord honorable. What a way to approach the Sabbath as parents. Amen? Oh, I'm so proud of this picture as a father. Tell you. This is just a few days ago. We celebrated our son's second birthday. Where has the time gone? Born in Alaska, too. And on that day, we got up, we had a special day planned. It was just going to be between us and him, family day. On that day, I set aside all of my work. My doctoral studies, put my laptop down. I didn't even want to think about work. I put my phone on airplane mode. Praise God. Not available this day. Put it down. And furthermore, it was a day that I was not online looking at my hobbies. I wasn't looking at camera reviews. The latest and the greatest full-frame camera that just came out by Sony. Oh, I was not Googling all of the specs. No, it was a day that was centered just on my son. Centered on my son. My wife and I, celebrating this moment. A day centered on my son. And I want to tell you, it was absolutely delightful. Amen? Absolutely delightful. A day that was so joyful, and I didn't know I could experience this as a parent. A day filled with so much joy. And we gave him gifts, you know, we took him to the zoo because that's his favorite thing. You know, I never went to the zoo before this. Never. I mean, come on. But now it's the greatest thing ever. I love going to the zoo because it's a day that we celebrate my son. And it's centered on him. The Sabbath is all about God. It's not centered in me. It's centered in him. And from that paradigm, from that vantage point, because it's all about him and because we love him, the Sabbath becomes a delight. Something that we experience with joy. It's not a day of narcissism and self-focus. By the way, that's very miserable. Okay, all about me and my needs. No, it's outward focus toward God and the needs of our fellow man. And that's what makes the Sabbath delightful. Delightful. Let's talk about rest. What is the Sabbath rest? Richard Davison did a fascinating study on rest and the Sabbath, and he goes through these attributes of rest. First of all, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, God rested, Shabbat, to cease, to stop, and this implies a physical rest. The Sabbath is a time that we stop the tyranny of secular labor and we rest in him. It is a day that we cease and we stop. The implication is the Sabbath is to be a day of physical rest, and that is a blessing. Praise his name. They find that even in human physiology, there are 7-day biorhythms that our body goes through. Breast milk, mother's milk, 7-day biorhythms. Other things in our hearts, you know, in our bodies have a 7-day biorhythm. The God of creation created us to rest, and it implies a physical rest on the Sabbath as well. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested. And here he doesn't use the word Shabbat. He uses the word nuach on the seventh day. And this means to repose, to settle down, to be quiet and tranquil, implying an intellectual and mental rest. This doesn't imply that we aren't to be thinking on the Sabbath, but praise God that on the seventh day, I can lay all of my doctoral research to the side, praise his name, and I don't have to think about that. You can lay all of your business pursuits on the side, and you don't have to think about that. You can rest intellectually on the Sabbath day. Emotional rest. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and rested, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, and was refreshed. The Hebrew word here is nafash. The Hebrew verb nafash means to breathe freely, to recover. It literally means to take breath and to refresh oneself. Have you ever felt emotionally burned out? The Sabbath rest is not only physical rest. It's not only intellectual rest, but it's a day of emotional recovery. That you can commune with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and find rest for your souls. Oh, I skipped a few here. Celebratory rest. Oh, creative rest. Creative celebratory rest. This is found in Exodus chapter 31, verse 16 and 17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe, the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. For in 6 days the Lord made, the heavens and the earth. Now that word observe there is the same Hebrew word that is used for the Lord made. And our Bible translators translated the word observe, but it doesn't fully encapsulate the meaning of that. It implies the day should be a day of creativity. The Sabbath is not to be a day of laziness and sloth, but here the word asah is used, indicating that the day is not only to be a day of creation or creativeness, but one translation, the NASB, actually uses the word that we are to celebrate the Sabbath. God invites us to experience a creative, celebratory rest. Moving on, gospel rest, a spiritual rest, Genesis 2:2, and on the seventh day God finished, kalah, his work on the day that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. The word kalah means to finish, to bring to an end. The Sabbath is a rest, according to Ellen White, a rest in grace. Now, when Adam and Eve kept the first Sabbath, what were they resting from? They hadn't done a thing. They were just created. That first Sabbath, they had just been created. By the way, Adam and Eve didn't see God create a single thing. They had to take it by faith. They just arrived. Everything had been created before. But on that first Sabbath, they were not resting from their own labors. What were they doing? They were resting in God. From what God had done during that time. And every 7 days, you rest in what God is doing in our lives in the plan of salvation. The Sabbath is all about righteousness by faith, not righteousness by works. We rest in what He has done. And look at the words here. And God rested on the seventh day and finished His work, which He had done. So when you rest on the seventh day, you rest in God. Steps of Christ, page 70. A life in Christ is a life of restfulness. We should not make self the center and indulge anxiety and fear as to whether we shall be saved. All this turns the soul away from the source of strength. Commit the keeping of your soul to God and trust in Him. Talk and think of Jesus. Let self be lost in Him. Put away all doubt. Dismiss your fears. Rest in God. The Sabbath, a reminder that it's God who works. We rest in Him in the plan of salvation. Moving on, blessed empowering rest. God blessed the seventh day. In the Hebrew thought, for God to keep or to bless something was to empower it to fulfill the function for which it was designed. The Sabbath is thus filled with power. We are empowered as we enter into rest on the Sabbath. The Sabbath should be a time of rejuvenation, of restoration, so that you can carry out the rest of the week, and it spills over into the other days of the week. Finally, we come to the holy, intimate rest. God, the Bible says that God sanctified it. In the Hebrew, it literally means to make it holy. What made the day holy? God's presence made the day holy. I remember the first unofficial date I had with Tennille. I made sure and checked last night that I could share this story before I shared it this morning, by the way. I learned that lesson. All right. So here we go. I remember the first date that I had with my wife, the first unofficial date. By the way, the first time I pursued her, she made it very clear, not interested. So I was like, whoa, all right. No, I'm going to back off there. And so one day she called me. And she said, hey, you want to hang out? with me and my friend? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. And in my mind, this was like a date. And so we were there. You know, I wasn't worried so much about her friend, but, you know, I was like, and that time in her presence, it seemed as though time stood still. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. And I was not looking at my watch, counting down the minutes and the moments. Quite the contrary. I craved every moment that I could have in her presence. And as those minutes waned away and I had to go back to my empty apartment, I longed for the next moment that we could spend together. How much more the Sabbath? Amen? This is our date with God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everything our Sabbath principles need to be filtered down from the person that makes the Sabbath holy. Do you want to experience the Sabbath as a delight? Amen. Do you want to experience the God of the Sabbath? We have this tremendous opportunity to not only know intellectually, but to experience the beauty and the delight of the seventh-day Sabbath. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the beautiful Sabbath that we can experience today because God infused his holiness into this day. It is the God of gods and the King of kings that makes this Sabbath day holy. Bless us with your presence. May you make the Sabbath a delight. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, for we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.